fill that out. If you have a prayer need in your life as a staff, I'll pray for those. And on Wednesday nights, we pray for those. So if you want to fill that out. And also, I often say this, but if there's a praise, if you've been praying for something and God has answered that prayer as he does, let us know that too so we can rejoice with you and we can praise him for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father God, it is so good to be in your house this morning. We are so thankful for the opportunity we have to freely gather and freely worship you this morning. Lord, we know there are so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world this morning who are meeting in secret, whose very lives, whose very freedom are on the line. But that they won't let that stop them, Lord. They want to worship you. So we lift them up. We pray for great boldness. We pray for protection for them. But Lord, we also pray for ourselves that we would never take this freedom for granted. Lord, help us to freely worship you and to live for you and to serve you with our lives. It is good to be in your house this morning, Father. We can come to you with all the burdens. We can come to you with the struggles, the things that we're carrying with us this morning. And we can just come here and we can find relief. We can find hope. We can lay them at your feet and we can just turn them over to you, Father God. It doesn't make the situation go away, but Father God, it reminds us that we have a loving Heavenly Father who goes with us and before us, who helps carry our burdens for us. Lord, I pray that that's a word of comfort this morning for some. I pray for those who, this week we had Thanksgiving, but for some it was very difficult. Lord, I pray that you would just draw so close to them. Pray that you would help them to feel your loving presence. Remind them that they are not alone, that you are with them, Father. And we think of those, Lord God, just going through different physical needs, Lord God. I think of Jim Krell this morning. Just lift him up to you, Lord. You know the health issues, possibly pneumonia he's had. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with him and touch him physically, Lord God. May he know his church family's praying for him this morning. And there are many others, Father God. Be with them. Lord, I pray for all those who are traveling or will be traveling. It's great to have our college students home this week, and we're so thankful for them. And many of them will be going back to school today. And Lord, I pray for safe travels for them. Watch over and protect them, Lord God. And family members who are traveling, Lord, and people, coming from out of the country and from out of the state, Lord, I pray that you just be with them. Pray for Fred and Terry, Lord God, as they travel back from Florida. I pray that they've had a great vacation and time with family down in Florida, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them and refresh them and bring them back, Father God. I pray refreshed and ready to serve you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this beautiful day that you've given to us and the opportunity we have to worship you. Lord, we pray that you would pour out your presence among us today, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds, whether it be through a conversation in the foyer, through the time of worship, through the spoken word, whatever it may be, Father, I just pray that your name would be lifted on high and that you would get the glory. Father God, I pray that you would strengthen our lives, strengthen our relationship with you, help our faith to be strengthened because of our time together with one another and with you this morning. And Father God, we just lay this service at your feet. We just ask that this would be a pleasing offering to you. May you be glorified and may you receive the glory that you are due. We love you. And we ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Oh, come on. That was weak. Did you have Thanksgiving? Yeah. All right, good. That's better. That's better. Well, I did up until yesterday. But yeah, we're going to talk about that. That was ugly. It's okay. Anyway, you be quiet. I'm going to have security remove you. That's my. We're on opposite sides of that argument. Anyway, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope that it was at least better than. I have a couple of stories I want to share with you, and I hope, I pray, that your Thanksgiving was better than these. I spent my first Thanksgiving with my husband in this Irish-Italian neighborhood in New York City. As a farmer, I was placed in charge of boiling 15 pounds of potatoes. When they were ready, I picked up the pan. I surveyed the crowded kitchen for a sink in which to drain them. My husband's elderly Bob guided me to a small half-bath of the steaming pot. He started to drain the potatoes into the toilet. but he lost his grip on the lid and all the potatoes tumbled in. I screamed, "Oh no!" Obviously. But Uncle Bob began fishing the potatoes out of the toilet and he said, "No one will ever know." He said, "Don't go out there and mash them." So sometime later during the meal, my husband's aunt leaned over and she whispered, "Your potatoes are delicious." I hope that didn't happen to you. And if it did happen to you, I hope you don't know that it happened to you and you can just forget about that. Here's another story. I went to a boyfriend's house and spent the morning with his family, his brothers, his sisters, and their significant others from far away. His grandmother was there, sitting quietly in the recliner, not saying much. After a couple hours, dinner was ready, so we all went into the dining room. Someone went back in to help her, thinking she had gotten out of there. We discovered that she had died sometime while we were all sitting around and laughing. Yeah, someone called an ambulance. My boyfriend's parents went to the party, and the rest of us had a very odd and awkward Thanksgiving dinner. On the plus, I like to think that she died happy. She was surrounded by, although she didn't say much, she smiled at all our jokes. It's really bad to think about it. It was just really, really strange for the rest of us. As yeah, obviously. I love Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas. I don't know which one I like more. I love them both. But I love this time of year. I love Thanksgiving. I love the time with all the food. I love all the football, most of it this year. I love the time together, the spending with family, and all those things, games, and just all those things. I love it. I love Thanksgiving. I know that Thanksgiving, this Thanksgiving perhaps, was very hard for some. And, you know, the holidays have of just magnifying the pain of loss and regret in our lives. But I hope and I pray that our loving Heavenly Father drew close to you and you felt his presence with you. Because it can be hard. But it is a really great holiday. It is a great time of year. And if you really stop to think about it, you have so much to be thankful for. So I've never done this before, but this year I sat down and wrote a list of the things that I'm thankful for. It's not an exhaustive list. If I spent more time, I'd probably come up with some more things. I've got a pretty good list here, I think. So I want to share that with you. So first and foremost, I am thankful for Jesus Christ, for his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness in my life. I'm thankful for my wife, Roxanne, even though she's a Buckeye. I'm thankful for my kids, Easton and Austin. I'm thankful for my mom and my brothers and sisters, my family, my in-laws, who are all here. It was great having them with us until yesterday, because they're all Buckeyes. Sorry. I got to let this go. I don't know if I'll be able to, but I'm going to try. But it was great having them. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for them coming out and spending Thanksgiving with us. I'm thankful for our veterans and our military. Amen? I'm thankful for our freedom. I'm thankful for indoor plumbing. Amen? I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for our youth. I'm thankful for streaming services like Prime and Netflix, you know? They're great. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for vacation. I'm thankful for satellite TV and NFL Sunday Ticket. I'm thankful for weekends in the fall. I mean, football, Friday night football, high school, college football on Saturday, pro football on Sunday. I love football. I'm thankful for football. I'm thankful for hot summers and a pool to cool off in. I'm thankful El Dorado Express. If you haven't been there, you need to go. Closed on Sundays, but it's a great restaurant. I'm thankful for those rare occasions I hit all the green lights on the way home, right? That's awesome. That's a great feeling. It doesn't happen often. I'm thankful for Mountain Dew. I'm thankful for Under Armour cold gear for those Friday nights on the sideline. Thankful for Raspberry Pi and a former office manager who still loves me enough to make it for me. Thank you, Gene. Thankful for finding money in the laundry. Isn't that the best feeling? And it's not mine. It's not mine. It's only my wife's, and I don't give it back. It's mine. Finders keepers, right? I love that. I love it when the seat next to me on the airplane is empty, you know, because there's not much room. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for with friends. I'm thankful for any day that I don't have to set an alarm. And I can just wake up whenever. It's usually still early, but I don't like to be woken up by an alarm. I'm thankful for barbecue. Yeah, I love you. I'm thankful for social media. And by that, I mean the ability to stay in touch with old friends and family members. Roxy live here. Roxy's family's from Ohio. My family's from Michigan. So it's great. It's a great way to stay and keep up with each other's lives and what's going on. So I'm thankful for social media for that. I'm thankful for thunderstorms on a Sunday afternoon. I'm thankful for leftovers. Yeah, Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for steak. I'm thankful for free samples at Sam's. How many of the round? You know, station to station? Yeah, I love that. I'm thankful for water in which to play in, you know, to swim and boat and those kind of things. I'm thankful for water, which to drink and to bathe in. There's plenty of the world where that's a dream. That's not a reality. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for having moments when I have exact change. You reach in your pocket, pull out just the change you need. I'm thankful for GPS. Amen? Never again do we have to stop and ask for directions. All right? And wives are thankful, too, because they don't imagine and asking for directions. I'm thankful for time off. I'm thankful for words of encouragement. I'm thankful for movie theaters. I'm thankful to spend time going to movies with my family. I'm thankful for Grisham books. I'm thankful for reading. I'm thankful for Taylor Swift. My kids give me a hard time, but I love Taylor Swift. Sorry, I'm afraid to admit. So, I love Taylor Swift. I'm thankful for Hallmark Christmas movies. Now, let me add this disclaimer. Hold on. I'm thankful because I can sit and make fun of them. That's what's fun. They are so sappy. Anyway, you've heard me talk about that before. I like to make fun of them. I'm thankful for good memories. I'm thankful for smartphones and tablets and apps, you know, that just make our lives easier. You know, you can check your bank account on your phone. You can, you know, with the cheapest gas. These apps they have, it's awesome. Makes life easier. I'm thankful for those things. And if you haven't been included in that, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve here, to be youth pastor here. And if you were to sit down and take the list, write your own list, I pray that it would be even longer than mine. I pray that you realize all the things that you have to be thankful for, because we really do have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And I really love Thanksgiving because it's a day that we set aside to do that. It's a day that's meant to make us think about all that we are to be thankful for. As Christians, we shouldn't just be thankful on the fourth Thursday of November, right? We should be thankful. We live lives of gratitude year-round. And I want us to look at Psalm 100. That's going to be the text for the message this morning. If you want to turn your Bible, you can turn over to the Word. It'll be on if you want to follow along there or on your phone or tablet. But Psalm 100, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And I want us to read, I want us to get this psalm this morning and see, we do have so much to be thankful for. How do we respond to that? How do we respond to the God, our loving Heavenly Father, who provides so much for us and takes care of us? So let's begin reading there in Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of pasture. Gates with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. This continues through all generations. So again, so much to be thankful for. If we take the time, whether it's a mental list or we sit down, we put paper and we make this list, when we think about it, we have so much to be thankful for. After we see and after we realize that, we come to realization, we have so much to be thankful for. We need to remember that God is the source of the things in our lives, and we need to respond to him. So how do we do that? Number one, we see this in first, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. We respond by shouting for joy. Now, shouting can be a good thing, right? And it can be a bad thing. It depends on the situation. Who you're shouting out and who, you know, yesterday in my house, there was some shouting going on between 11 and about afternoon. Some contest was on TV, and there might have been a few shouting. Most of it was Austin and I, but there was some shouting going on. Shouting can be good, it can be a bad thing, but we should shout for joy because of all good that Lord has given to us. He is good. Matthew 7:11 says, if you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your, or will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, as parents, right, we've had this experience. If you're a parent, you've had the experience, get the perfect gift, right? And if your kids want it, it's like rare. You know, Good Friday, you got up at 3 a.m. or something, and you went and got, you know, because on Christmas morning, you see that look on your kid's face, that look of your excitement and joy, right? As a parent, is there any better feeling than that? I mean, it is great. We love to make our kids happy. We love to see that look on our face. And if we are evil and we can do that, how much more so is our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father? Is he able to do that and wanting to do that in our lives? He wants to give us those things. He wants to make us happy. He wants to have us to have joy. He wants us to express our gratitude and our thanksgiving to him. Sometimes we get all excited as parents and we think we have the perfect gift. We give it to them, and the reaction's the opposite. That happened to anybody? No, it's not quite the reaction you were thinking. In fact, it's complete opposite. When I was in high school, I came home from school one day with my friend Mark, and I walked in. My mom said, I went shopping, and I bought you this shirt. And it was a button-up shirt. It said, like, purple and black plaid. And, I mean, it was ugly. I mean, ugly with a capital U, all right? It was just... And I started laughing. I didn't have a very good filter then. And so I just laughed. That was my first initial reaction and response. I just laughed. My mom, that wasn't the reaction she was expecting. And I said, are you serious? You know, is this really, you expect me to wear this? You know, and my friend started laughing. And, you know, needless to say, it wasn't exactly the expression or the reaction my mom was hoping for. But God knows how to give us good gifts. He doesn't give us duds. He doesn't give us ugly button-up shirts. He knows how to give us good gifts. Us. And Jesus, you know, when we give gifts at Christmas because, you know, going back, Jesus is the one, right? And they brought him gifts, and he gave the best gift. And so we celebrate that. We give good gifts because we want to share that. It's part of sharing the Christmas story. It's a gift. It's not about the materialism. It's not about gifts. It's not about stuff. Of giving gifts, remembering the greatest gift ever given to us, and that's Jesus. And not only is he the greatest gift, but he's also the greatest gift giver. This is audience participation time, all right? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a few statements, and if this applies to you, I want you to stand up, okay, if you're able. If you're not able to, just raise your hand nice and high, but if you're able to, please stand. It'll just add to the effect, all right? So if this applies to you, just please stand. Stand up if God has ever healed you physically. Anybody? Ever. If God has ever healed you physically. That's a pretty good gift, amen? Amen. All right, you be seated. Thank you. Stand up if God has ever set you free from an addiction or a struggle. Awesome. Stand up. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Thanks for your honesty. There's one more. Stand up if God has ever spoken to you. Maybe not in an audible voice. I don't know one person. I've been a Christian a long time. I only know one person who ever heard God speak to them audibly. It wasn't me. But if God has ever spoken to you, and you know this was the voice of God, please stand. Yeah. What an awesome gift that is. All right, you may be seated. Stand up if God has ever used you to help somebody else up, to reach someone else. Yeah, I won't go into the hotel right now, but I've shared the story before. One time I was at church, you may be seated. I was at church late Saturday night, and the phone rang. I didn't want to answer it, but I just felt compelled. I answered the phone. There was a man on the other line saying, I'm going to commit suicide. Why shouldn't I? You want? I be praying, Lord, give me words to speak. What do you say? Right? And I'm telling you, God worked through me. It wasn't me. It had nothing to do with me. It was all God. I was quoting script that I never memorized. That was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. You know, and to be used by God like that, man, that's a humbling and awesome experience. All right, couple more. If God has ever healed a relationship or maybe a marriage, stand. Please stand. Cool. If God has ever done, please stand, if God has ever done the miraculous in your life. All right, and only one more. one more. If God has ever forgiven you, please stand. Yeah. Amen. Man, all right, thank you. You see, Jesus isn't only the greatest gift ever given, he's the greatest giver. All those things I just mentioned and so many more are all gifts from God. Amen? God is not only Jesus is not only the greatest gift, but he's also the greatest gift giver. John 15:11 says, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be. And he says, I've told you this being you remain in me, if you abide in me, if you live for me, then our joy will be made complete through him. He is a great gift. So our response should shout for joy. Amen? The second response should be that we should worship him with gladness. Verses 2 and 3. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He who made us. We are his. We are his people. The sheep. This pasture. Why do we worship him? Because he made us. Being Jesus. Jesus is the creator. I want you to understand, when the sun was around from the beginning, right? The sun, God, we serve a triune God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, all three of them have been around since the beginning. Where was the beginning? When was the beginning? I don't know. That's where faith comes in. But God has always been. And the Son has always been with him. Jesus, the Son didn't come around when Jesus was born in Bethlehem a couple thousand years ago. He was around before that because God's Word tells us. John 1, verses 1 to 3 say, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God spoke it. Jesus did it. Jesus is the Word. With God in the beginning, all things were made. Without him, was made that has been made. Why is that significant? Because he made us, but then he also died for us. Doesn't make a lot of sense in our human understanding. He created us so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could love him and serve him and worship him. But when that went off the rails, he also became the sacrifice. That's why we worship him. He loves us that much. We are his people. He knows us. Psalm 100 tells us. For a second. The God of the universe, creator God, the maker of heaven and earth, almighty God himself, he knows not just your name. You know, you've had a conversation with somebody, well, do you know so-and-so? You know, do you know Bill Smith? And you're like, but I know who he is. When somebody us, when someone prays for us, God's not up going, that sounds familiar. No, he knows who we are. He knows us. His word tells us that he knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows us intimately. He doesn't just know of you. He knows you. Almighty God knows you. Whatever burden, whatever worry, whatever joy or praise, whatever struggle you walked in here with this morning, God knows. And I hope that's liberating. I hope that's freeing for you to know that he knows. You can lay that at his feet. You can seek his help. He knows you. He goes on to say, "Are the sheep of his pasture." Now, this is one of the you got to kind of look. See, it could be kind of one of those backhanded compliments you're talking about. You know, when somebody, they say it seems like it's nice. Yeah, when you stop to think about it, it's like, well, that's kind of insulting. You know, those kinds of things, backhanded compliments, because sheep are really stupid. All right, stupid animals. But God is not calling us stupid. We are the sheep of his sheep, but he's not calling us stupid. Think about it this way. Luke 15:4 says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, that is odd. We live in such a throwaway culture, don't we? TV breaks, we don't take it to a TV repairman anymore. We throw it away and we go buy a new one. We wait for Black Friday, early morning. Right? We live in a throwaway society. We just throw things away and buy new things. And the problem with this, that attitude can infect our hearts and our attitudes towards other people. And we start to look at people as throwaway people. I want you to know no person is a throwaway person in God's eyes. And we have to be careful to guard against that in our own life, in our own attitudes. It says that he goes after, he leaves 99 and he goes after the one. Hey, that just is, there's so many people just like, well, I've still got 99. Close enough, right? Good enough. And they just worry about that. It says God loves us so much. This is how much he loves his sheep. And we are his sheep. That he loves us so much that he'll go out looking for one. He'll lead the 99 to safety. He'll go and he'll look for the one. That's powerful. But let me take it a step further. The scripture says he doesn't just give it the old college try. He doesn't just go out and spend the bare minimum. Like, you know, at least I can say I tried. It says he goes after sheep until he finds it. That's not a casual. I'll go out and I'll see if I can find it. No, he goes with it. I'm going to go until I find it. If this morning, if you are not walking with God, whether because you never have walked away from him, I want you to know, and I say this in love, that God will never stop pursuing you. He will never stop pursuing you. If you have a loved one, child or a spouse, someone you love and care about that doesn't know the Lord, I want you to know that God will never stop pursuing them. Amen? God will never stop pursuing them. He tells us he goes until he finds them. It's ultimately their choice. But God will never stop pursuing them. Forgive me, God, for the times that I've stopped, that I've forgiven, that I've given. That is in the worship. God loves you. He knows you. And you are his sheep. He will not give up on you. He will not stop pursuing you. That is reason to worship. We are his people. We are the sheep of pasture. God loves us. That is reason to worship. So our response so far, shout for joy, worship him with gladness. And the third response is we should respond by giving thanks to him. Bless his name. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. How do we give thanks? How do we live a life of thanks? Well, start being grateful. We live in such a negative world, and I think that's our default as humans, right? We always find the negative things. There was an actual study done. If you go on YouTube this, there was a TED Talk called Negativity, and I encourage you to check it out. It's really interesting. But they took a group of people, and they divided them into two groups. To the first group, there's this procedure that we think would really enhance your life, would really help you out, would be a tremendous benefit to you. We really highly recommend you do this. It has a 70% success rate. Oh, wow, that sounds great. Everybody in the group said, yeah, sign me up. They went to the second group, said the same, highly recommend this. This would be a tremendous addition to your life. It would help you out. We highly recommend you do this, but it has a 30% fail rate. Everybody in the group said, oh, no, that's the risk too high. Now, it's the same statistic, right? In the one group, 70%, the other group, 30%, but it's all in how you frame it. They went with the positive, and there was a positive reaction. They went with the negative, and there was a negative reaction. Exactly. So then they developed a little further. They said, okay, they went back to the first group, and they said, now, you highly recommend this, and we ought to do this. And it does have a 70% success rate, but that also means it has a 30% fail rate. Oh, okay. And then some of the group, not all the group, but part of the group then decided not to do it because, well, it has a 30%. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking before. They said 70% seems like it's common sense. I don't know. They just said, they're like, oh, no. They kind of got talked out of it because negativity was introduced. They went back to the other group, and they said, the negative group said, no, we don't want to do it. Said, well, you know, now please understand it has a 30% fail rate, but what that means is it has a 70% success rate. And they're like, yeah, and not one person changed their mind. You're negative by default. You know, and they did the study, it just shows the effects of negativity and how, you know, it's easier to overcome positivity with negativity than it is negativity with positivity, you know. And I'm not talking about, you know, feel good and all that stuff, health, wealth, and happiness. I'm just talking about as humans, we have this propensity to look at the negative. And God is calling us to live grateful lives, to live lives of gratitude. And so how do we worship him? How do we glorify him with our lives? By living lives of gratitude, being thankful each and every day. Focus on those things, thanking him daily for the life we have and for the good things in our life. Yeah, hard times come for all of us. I'm not saying we have to fake it and try to, you know, thank you, God, I'm suffering right now. No, be thankful for the things that are good. And be thankful for the hope that we have that he'll be with us and he'll resolve the struggles and the negative and those things in our lives that are causing us issues. So how do we bless God? By living for him, walking and living in obedience with the attitude of gratitude, living for him. Why do we respond this way? It says, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. I'd encourage you, list to be paper or just mine, but we have so much to be thankful for. Look at that list. Give God the glory for that list. Thank him and ask God to help you every day live a life of gratitude, to live with the attitude of thanksgiving each day of the year, not just the fourth Thursday of November. Because when we remember that God is the source of all those good things, and he is, he knows how to give good gifts to his children. And when we remember that, our response will be to shout for joy, to worship gladness, and then to live a life that gives thanks. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us, for the opportunity we have to just come into your house this morning and worship. Thank you for the many, many good things we have in our lives. Father God, I know there are people here this morning, there's bad things going on. There's struggle. And Father God, this morning, we're not trying to pretend like those things don't do. But Father God, I pray that you would help us to put our hearts and our minds on you, to focus on you. Help us, Father, I pray, to see the good, to glorify you for those things, to give you thanks, to live life. And Lord, as we do that, I pray that that would have a tremendous effect on those around us. We do live. If we could live a life and every day with your help, man, people are going to notice that. People are going to see that. Man, that'll just give us opportunities to share with others. Man, it's a way from life. Just give us opportunities to you. So, Father, I pray that you would help that to be real in each of our lives. Help us to go forth today, Lord, and live lives of gratitude, to live a life of thanks, realizing all the good things in our life that come from you, the glory and the praise. Thank you, Father, for this day you've given to us. We love you, and we ask all this in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Thanks. You are dismissed.